102. Celebrant.
Mu'alakh was said to grant visions of the future at different times, but most commonly at the transition point between realms, when a soul was nearing the Tranquiline Halls. From Hesse's Mythica, page 144. Kaladin hiked through the city with Adolin and Syl. The money-changing had gone quickly, and they'd left the spren of Adolin's sword with the others. After Shallan had taken the Deadeye's hand, she had remained behind. Reaching this city marked a welcome step forward toward finally getting out of this place and reaching Dalinar. Unfortunately, a brand new city full of unknown threats didn't encourage him to relax. The city wasn't as densely populated as most human ones, but the variety of spren was stunning. Reachers like Iko and his sailors were common, but there were also spren that looked much like Adolin's sword, at least before she'd been killed. They were made entirely of vines, though they had crystal hands and wore human clothing. Equally common were spren with inky black skin that shone with a variety of colors when light hit them right. Their clothing seemed part of them, like that of the cryptics and honor spren. A small group of cryptics passed nearby, huddling close together as they walked. Each had a head with a slightly different pattern. There were other spren with skin like cracked stone, molten light shining from within. Still others had skin the color of old white ashes, and when Kaladin saw one of these point toward something, the skin stretching at the joint of his arm disintegrated and blew away, revealing the joint and knobs of the humerus. The skin quickly regrew. The variety reminded Kaladin of the costumes of the Cult of Moments, though he didn't spot a single honor spren. And it didn't seem like the other spren mixed much. Humans were rare enough that the three of them, including Syl, imitating an Alethi, turned heads. Buildings were constructed using bricks in a variety of colors, or blocks of many different types of stone. Each building was a hodgepodge of materials with no pattern Kaladin could determine. "How do they get building materials?" Kaladin asked as they followed the money changer's instructions toward the nearby market. "Are there quarries on this side?" Syl frowned. She cocked her head. "You know, I'm not sure. I think maybe we make it appear on this side, somehow from yours, like Iko did with the ice."
"They seem to wear whatever," Adolin said, pointing. "That's an Alethi officer's coat over an Azish scribe's vest. Tashiki wrap worn with trousers, and there's almost a full Thalen Telemco, but they're missing the boots."
"No children," Kaladin noticed.
"There have been a few," Syl said. "They just don't look little, like human children."
"How does that even work?" Adolin said.
"Well, it's certainly less messy than your method."
She scrunched her face up.
"We're made of power, bits of gods. There are places where that power coalesces and parts start to be aware. You go and then come back with a child, I think."
Adolin chuckled.
"What?"
Kaladin asked.
"That's actually not that different from what my nanny told me when I asked her where children came from. A nonsense story about parents baking a new child out of creme clay."
"It doesn't happen often,"
Syl said as they passed a group of the ash-colored spren sitting around a table and watching the crowds. They eyed the humans with overt hostility, and one flicked fingers toward Kaladin. Those fingers exploded to bits of dust, leaving bones that grew back the flesh.
"Raising children doesn't happen often?" Adolin asked.
Syl nodded.
"It's rare. Most spren will go hundreds of years without doing it."
"Hundreds of years. Storms," Kaladin whispered, considering it. "Most of these spren are that old?"
"Or older," Syl said. "But aging isn't the same with spren. Like time isn't. We don't learn as fast or change much without a bond."
Towers in the city's center showed the time by way of fires burning in a set of vertical holes, so they could judge how to meet back with the others in an hour as agreed. The market turned out to be mostly roofless stalls open to the air with goods piled on tables. Even in comparison to the improvised market of Eurythiru, this seemed ephemeral to Kaladin. But there were no storm winds to worry about here, so it probably made sense. They passed a clothing stall, and of course Adolin insisted on stopping. The oily spren who managed the place had an odd, very terse way of talking, with a strange use of words. But it did speak Alethi, unlike most of Iko's crew. Kaladin waited for the prince to finish until Syl stepped up and presented herself in an oversized poncho tied with a belt. On her head, she wore a large floppy hat. "What's that?" Kaladin asked.
"Clothes.
Why do you need clothes? Yours are built in."
"Those are boring."
"Can't you change them?"
"Take stormlight on this side," she said. "Plus, the dress is part of my essence, so I'm actually walking around naked all the time."
"It's not the same."
"Easy for you to say. We bought you clothing. You have three sets."
"Three?" he said, looking down at his clothing. "I have my uniform, and this one Iko gave me."
"Plus the one you're wearing underneath that one."
"Underwear?" Kaladin said.
"Yeah. That means you have three sets of clothing while I have none."
"We need two sets so one can be washed while we wear the other."
"Just so you won't be stinky."
She rolled her eyes in an exaggerated way.
"Look, you can give these to Shallan when I get bored with them. You know she likes hats."
That was true. He sighed, and when Adolin returned with another set of underclothing for each of them, along with a skirt for Shallan, Kaladin had him haggle for the clothing Syl was wearing, too. The prices were shockingly cheap, using a tiny fraction of the money from their writ. They continued on, passing stalls that sold building materials. According to the signs Syl could read, some items were far more expensive than others. Syl seemed to think the difference had to do with how permanent the thing was in Shadesmar, which made Kaladin worry for the clothing they'd bought. They found a place selling weapons, and Adolin tried to negotiate while Kaladin browsed. Some kitchen knives, a few hand axes, and sitting in a locked, glass-topped box, a long, thin, silvery chain.
"You're like?"
the shopkeeper asked. She was made of vines, her face formed as if from green string, and wore a hava with a crystal safe hand exposed.
"Only 1,000 bromes of stormlight."
1,000 bromes?" Kaladin asked. He looked down at the box, which was locked to the table and guarded by small orange spren that looked like people.
"No thanks."
The pricing here really was bizarre. The swords proved more expensive than Adolin wanted, but he did buy them 2 harpoons, and Kaladin felt a lot more secure once one was placed in his hands. Walking on, Kaladin noted that Syl was hunkered down in her oversized poncho, her hair tucked into the collar and her hat pulled down to shadow her face. It seemed like she didn't trust Shallan's illusion to keep her from being recognized as an honor spren. The food stall they found had mostly more cans, like those on the ship. Adolin started haggling, and Kaladin settled in for another wait, scanning those who passed on the pathway for danger. He found his eyes drawn, however, to a stall across from them, selling art. Kaladin had never had much time for art. Either the picture depicted something useful, like a map, or it was basically pointless. And yet, nestled among the paintings for display was a small one painted from thick strokes of oil, white and red with lines of black. When he looked away, he found himself drawn back toward it, studying the way the highlights played off those dark lines.
"Like 9 shadows, he thought, "with a figure kneeling in the middle."
The ashen spren waved excitedly, pointing to the east and then making a cutting motion. She spoke a language Shallan couldn't understand, but fortunately Pattern could interpret.
"Ah," he said. "Yes, I see. She will not sail back to cultivation's perpendicularity. No, she will not go."
"Same excuse?" Shallan asked.
Yes. Void Spren sailing warships and demanding tribute from any who approach. Oh, she says she would rather trade with Honor Spren than take another trip to the Perpendicularity. I think this is an insult. Ha ha ha.
Void Spren, Azure said. Can she at least explain what that means?
The Ashen Spren began speaking quickly after Pattern asked. There are many varieties, she says. Some of golden light, others are red shadows. Curious, yes. And it sounds like some of the fused are with them. Men with shells that can fly. I did not know this.
What? Azure prompted.
Shadesmar has been changing these last months, Pattern explained. Void Spren have arrived mysteriously just west of the Nexus of Imagination, near Marat, or Tukar, on your side. And they have sailed up and seized the Perpendicularity. She says, you need but spit into a crowd and you'll find one these days. Ha ha ha. I do not think she actually has spit.
Shallan and Azure shared a look as the sailor retreated onto her ship, to which mandras were being harnessed. The Spren of Adolin's sword lingered nearby, seeming content to stay where told. Passers-by looked away from her, as if embarrassed to see her there.
"Well, the Dark Registrar was right," Azure said, folding her arms. "No ships sailing toward the peaks or toward Thalen's city. Those destinations are too close to enemy holdings."
"Maybe we should try for the Shattered Plains instead," Shallan said. That meant going east, a direction ships were more likely to travel these days. It would mean going away from both what Kaladin and Azure wanted, but at least it would be something. If they got there, she'd still need to find a way to engage the Oathgate on this side. What if she failed? She imagined them trapped in some far-off location surrounded by beads, slowly starving.
"Let's keep asking the ships on our list," she said, leading the way. The next ship in line was a long, stately vessel, made of white wood with golden trim. Its entire presentation seemed to say, "Good luck affording me." Even the mandras being led toward it from one of the warehouses wore gold harnesses. According to the list from the Dock Registrar, this was heading someplace called Lasting Integrity, which was to the southwest. That was kind of the direction Kaladin wanted to go, so Shallan had Pattern stop one of the grooms and ask if the captain of the ship would be likely to take human passengers. The groom, a Spren that looked like she was made of fog or mist, merely laughed and walked off as if she'd heard a grand joke.
"I suppose," Azure said, "we should take that for a no."
The next ship in line was a sleek vessel that looked fast to Shallan's untrained eyes. A good choice, the Registrar had noted, and likely to be welcoming toward humans. Indeed, a Spren working on the deck waved as they approached. He put one booted foot up on the side of his ship and looked down with a grin. What kind of Spren, Shallan thought, has skin like cracked rock? He glowed deep within, as if molten on the inside.
"Humans?" he called in Vaden,
reading Shallan's hair as a sign of her heritage.
"You're far from home. Or close, I suppose. Just in the wrong realm."
"We're looking for passage," Shallan called up. "Where are you sailing?"
"East," he said. "Toward Freelight."
"Could we potentially negotiate passage?"
"Sure,"
he called down.
"Always interesting to have humans aboard. Just don't eat my pet chicken. Ha! But negotiations will have to wait. We've got an inspection soon. Come back in a half hour."
The Dock Registrar had mentioned this. An official inspection of the ships happened at first hour every day. Shallan and the team backed off, and she suggested returning to their meeting place near the Dock Registrar. As they approached, Shallan could see that Iko's ship was already under inspection by a dock official,
another spren made of vines and crystal.
Maybe we could convince Eco to take us if we just tried harder.
Perhaps. Azure's breath caught, and she grabbed Shallan by the shoulder, yanking her into an alley between two warehouses, out of sight of the ship.
Damnation.
What? Shallan demanded, as Pattern and, lethargically, Adolin's spren joined them.
Look up there, Azure said, talking with Eco on the poop deck.
Shallan frowned, then peeked out, spotting what she'd missed earlier. A figure stood up there, with the marbled skin of a parshman. He floated a foot or two off the deck, next to Eco, looming like a stern tutor over a foolish student. The spren with the vines and crystal body walked up, reporting to this one.
Perhaps, Azure said, we should have asked who runs the inspections.
Kaladin's harpoon drew nervous glances as he crossed the pathway between stalls to get a closer look at the painting. Can spren even be hurt in this realm? A part of him wondered. The sailors wouldn't carry harpoons if things couldn't be killed on this side, right? He'd have to ask Syl, once she was done interpreting for Adolin. Kaladin stepped up to the painting. The ones beside it showed far more technical prowess. They were capable portraits, perfectly capturing their human subjects. This one was sloppy by comparison. It looked like the painter had simply taken a knife covered in paint and slopped it onto the canvas, making general shapes. Haunting, beautiful shapes. Mostly reds and whites, but with a figure at the center, throwing out nine shadows. Dalinar, he thought. I failed Elokar. After all we went through, after the rains and confronting Moash, I've failed. And I lost your city. He reached up his fingers to touch the painting.
Marvelous, isn't it?
A spren said. Kaladin jumped, sheepishly lowering his fingers. The proprietor of this stall was a reacher woman, short with a bronze ponytail.
It's a unique piece. Human, she said. From the far-off court of gods. A painting intended only for a divinity to see. It is exceptionally rare that one escapes being burned at the court and makes its way onto the market.
Nine shadows, Kaladin said. The unmade?
This is a piece by Nenefra. It is said that each person who sees one of his masterworks sees something different. And to think I charge such a minuscule price. Only 300 broms worth of stormlight. Truly times are difficult in the art market.
Haunting images from Kaladin's vision overlapped the stark wedges of paint on the canvas. He needed to reach Thalen City. He had to be there on time. What was that disturbance behind him? Kaladin shook out of his reverie and glanced over his shoulder just in time to see Adolin jogging toward him.
We have a problem, the prince said.
How could you not mention this? Shallan said to the little spren at the registrar office. How could you neglect to point out that void spren ruled the city?
I thought everyone knew, he said, vines curling and moving at the corners of his face. Oh dear, oh my, anger is not helpful, human. I am a professional. It is not my job to explain things you should already know.
He's still on Eco's ship, Azure said, looking out the office window. Why is he still on Eco's ship?
That is odd, the spren said. Each inspection usually takes only 13 minutes.
Damnation.
Shallan breathed out, trying to calm herself. Coming back to the registrar had been a calculated risk. He was probably working with the fused, but they hoped to intimidate him into talking.
When did it happen? Shallan asked. My spren friend told us this was a free city.
It's been months now, the vine spren said. Oh, they don't have firm control here, mind you. Just a few officials and promises from our leaders to follow. too fused to check in on us now and then. I think the other is quite insane. Kirill, who is running the inspections, well, he might be mad too, actually. You see, when he gets angry,
damnation, Azure cursed. What? He just set Eco's ship on fire.
Kaladin ran back across the street to find Syl a center of activity. She had pulled her oversized hat down to obscure her face, but a collection of Spren stood around the food stall, pointing at her and talking. Kaladin shoved his way through, took Syl by the arm, and pulled her away from the stall. Adolin followed, holding his harpoon in one hand and a sack of food in the other. He looked threateningly toward the Spren and the gathered crowd, who didn't give chase.
They recognize you, Kaladin said to Syl, even with the illusory skin color.
Maybe.
Syl?
She held to her hat with one hand, her other arm in his hand, as he towed her through the street.
So, you know how I mentioned I snuck away from the other honor Spren?
Yes.
So there might have been an enormous reward for my return. Posted in basically every port in Shadesmar, with my description and some pictures. Yeah.
You've been forgiven, Kaladin said. The Stormfather has accepted your bond to me. Your siblings are watching Bridge 4, investigating potential bonds themselves.
That's kind of recent, Kaladin. And I doubt I've been forgiven. The others on the Shattered Plains wouldn't talk to me. As far as they're concerned, I'm a disobedient child. There's still an incredible reward in Stormlight to be given to the person that delivers me to the Honor Spren capital, lasting integrity.
And you didn't think this was important to tell me?
Sure I did. Right now.
They stopped to allow Adolin to catch up. The Spren back at the food stall were still talking.
Storms, this news would spread throughout Celebrant before long.
Kaladin glared at Syl, who pulled down into the oversized poncho she'd bought.
Azure is a bounty hunter, she said in a small voice, and I'm kind of like a Spren Light Eyes. I didn't want you to know, in case you hated me like you hate them.
Kaladin sighed, taking her by the arm again and pulling her toward the docks.
I should have known this disguise wouldn't work, she added. I'm obviously too beautiful and interesting to hide.
News of this might make it hard to get passage, Kaladin said.
He
stopped in the street.
Is that smoke up ahead?
The fused touched down on the quay, tossing Eco to the ground of the docks. Behind, Eco's ship had become a raging bonfire. The other sailors and inspectors scrambled down the gangway in a frantic jumble. Shallan watched from the window, her breath caught as the fuse lifted a few inches off the ground, then glided toward the registrar's building. She sucked in Stormlight by reflex. "Look frightened," she said to the others. She grabbed Adolin's Spren by the arm and pulled her to the side of the clerk's room. The fuse burst in and found them cringing, wearing the faces of sailors that Shallan had sketched. Pattern was the oddest one, his strange head needing to be covered by a hat to have any semblance of looking realistic.
Please don't notice we're the same sailors as on the ship. Please.
The fused ignored them, gliding up to the frightened Vine Spren behind the desk.
That ship was hiding human criminals, Pattern whispered, translating the fused's conversation with the registrar. They had a hydrator and remnants of human food eaten on the deck. There are two or three humans, one Honor Spren and one Ink Spren. Have you seen these criminals?
The Vine Spren cringed down by the desk.
They went to the market for needed supplies. They asked me for ships that would get them passage to the Perpendicularity.
You hid this from me?
Why does everyone assume I'll just tell them things? Oh, I need questions, not assumptions.
The fused regarded him with a cold glare.
Put that out, he said,
gesturing toward the fire.
Use the city's sand stores if needed.
Yes, great one. If I might say, starting fires on the docks is an unwise...
You may not say. When you finish putting out the fire, clear your things from this office. You are to be replaced immediately.
The fused charged out of the room, letting in the scent of smoke. Eco's ship foundered, the blaze flaring high. Nearby, sailors from other ships were frantically trying to control their mandras and move their vessels away.
Oh my, said the Spren behind the desk.
He looked to them.
You are a Radiant? The old oaths are spoken again?
Yes, Shallan said, helping Adolin Spren to her feet. The frightened little Spren sat up straighter.
Oh, glorious day! Glorious! We have waited so long for the honor of men to return.
He stood up and gestured.
Go, please, get on a ship. I will stall, yes, I will, if that one comes back. Oh, but go quickly!
Kaladin sensed something on the air. Perhaps it was the flapping of clothing, familiar to him after hours spent riding the winds. Perhaps it was the postures of the people farther down the street. He reacted before he understood what it was, grabbing Syl and Adolin, pulling them all into a tent at the edge of the market. A fused sword passed outside, its shadow trailing behind, pointing the wrong direction.
Storms, Adolin said. Nice work, Cal.
The tent was occupied only by a single bewildered Spren made of smoke, looking odd in a green cap and what seemed to be horn-eater clothing.
Out, Kaladin said, the smell of smoke on the air filling him with dread. They hurried down an alleyway between warehouses, out onto the docks.
Farther down, Eco's ship burned brilliantly. There was chaos on the docks as Spren ran in all directions, shouting in their strange language. Syl gasped, pointing at a ship bedecked in white and gold.
We have to hide. Now!
Honor, Spren, Kaladin said.
Yeah!
Pull down your hat, go back into the alley, Kaladin scanned the crowd. Adolin, do you see the others?
No, he said.
Ishar's soul, there's no water to put that fire out. It will burn for hours. What happened?
One of Eco's sailors stepped from the crowd.
I saw a flash from something the fused was holding. I think he intended to frighten Eco, but started the fire by accident.
Wait, Kaladin thought. Was that a Lethi? Shallan? He asked as four Reachers gathered around.
I'm right here, said a different one. We are in trouble. The only ship that might have agreed to give us passage is that one there.
The one sailing away at full speed,
Kaladin said with a sigh.
Nobody else would consider taking us on, Azure said, and they were all heading the wrong directions anyway. We're about to be stranded.
We could try fighting our way onto a ship, Kaladin said. Take control of it, maybe? Adolin shook his head.
I think that would take long enough and make enough trouble that the fused would find us.
Well, maybe I could fight him, Kaladin said.
Only one enemy. I should be able to take him.
Using all our stormlight in the process?
Shallan asked.
I'm just trying to think of something.
Guys, Syl said, I might have an idea.
A great, bad idea.
The fused went looking for you, Shallan said to Kaladin. It flew to the market.
It passed us.
Guys.
Not for long, though. It's going to turn around soon. Turns out Syl has a bounty on her head.
Guys?
We need a plan, Kaladin said. If nobody...
He trailed off. Syl had started running toward the majestic white and gold ship, which was slowly being pulled away from the docks. She threw down her poncho and hat, then screamed up at the ship while running along the pier beside it.
Hey! She screamed. Hey, look down here!
The vessel stopped ponderously, handlers slowing its mandras. Three blue-white honor Spren appeared at the side, looking down with utter shock.
Sylfrenna? The ancient daughter? One shouted.
That's me, she shouted back. "You'd better catch me before I scamper away. Wow, I'm feeling capricious today. I might just vanish again, off to where nobody can find me."
It worked. A gangway dropped, and Syl scrambled up onto the ship, followed by the rest of them. Kaladin went last, watching nervously over his shoulder, expecting the fuse to come after them at any moment. It did, but it stopped at the mouth of the alleyway, watching them board the ship. Honor Spren gave it pause, apparently. Aboard, Kaladin discovered that most of the sailors were those Spren made of fog or mist. One of these was tying Syl's arms together with rope. Kaladin tried to intervene, but Syl shook her head. "Not now," she mouthed. Fine. He would argue with the Honor Spren later. The ship pulled away, joining others that fled the city. The Honor Spren didn't pay much mind to Kaladin and the others, though one did take their harpoons, and another went through their pockets, confiscating their infused gemstones. As the city grew smaller, Kaladin caught sight of the fused hovering over the docks beside the smoke trail of a burning ship. It finally streaked off in the other direction.